Chapter 33. Spire Albion, Havel Landing. Bridget had nearly fallen asleep when, a number of hours later, both bored-looking cats abruptly whipped their heads in the same direction, ears pricked forward as if they'd heard something, although Bridget hadn't, beyond the normal muted noises of later hours in the Havel. After a moment, both cats simultaneously rose, stretched, and yawned.
"Folly, wake up," Bridget said. "It's time."
Folly blinked her eyes open from where she'd been dozing with her head against the wall and looked around, apparently disoriented.
"Whose time is it?"
"Shh," Bridget said, listening intently.
"Adequate,"
Raoul asked the other cat.
"So it would seem," the strange cat replied. "Introductions. Appropriate."
Both cats turned at the same time and sauntered toward Bridget and Folly, walking exactly shoulder to shoulder. Folly peered sleepily at them as they approached and whispered to her jar,
"I wonder which of them won."
Bridget felt her eyebrows lifting.
I believe it was a draw," she whispered back.
"This is a formidable member of his tribe," she sighed.
"Just our luck, when we're in such a rush, to meet someone who could ignore Raoul for so long."
"Ought we stand up?"
Folly asked her jar worriedly.
"Won't it be seen as disrespect if we do not?"
"A human who is sitting down is a human who cannot possibly pounce on a cat faster than the cat can spring away," Bridget replied.
"Stay sitting. It's more polite."
"Oh, Bridget makes it perfectly sensible,"
Folly said, smiling.
"I'm so glad I wondered aloud."
Raoul prowled over to Bridget and settled comfortably in her lap.
"Oh," said the strange cat, "they belong to you. I had wondered why they waited about." "This one belongs to me,"
Raoul said, leaning his head up to nudge the underside of Bridget's chin.
"That other one works for me."
"With you,"
Bridget said beneath her breath. Raoul flicked a careless ear.
"It's the same thing."
He turned to the strange cat and said,
"I'm Raoul, Kit of Maul of the Silent Paws. This is Little Mouse. That one has not yet earned a real name."
"Her name is Folly," Bridget put in, saying all but Folly's name in cat.
"No real name,"
agreed the other cat.
"I am Neen, Kit of Norn of the Nine Claws."
"I have heard of the Nine Claws," Raoul said. "They seem perfectly adequate."
"I have heard of the Silent Paws,"
Neen replied.
"I find nothing overly objectionable about them."
"The humans of my Havel sent Little Mouse here to ask for help from cats."
Neen lashed his tail thoughtfully.
"That seems overly intelligent for humans."
"I thought the same," Raoul said. "Little Mouse, ask."
Bridget stared calmly at Neen, matching the cat's enigmatic, confident expression as best she could.
"If it is not too much trouble, I would like to speak to your clan chief."
Neen tilted his head and returned her stare.
"It almost sounds like a cat."
"It sounds precisely like a cat,"
Raoul replied, some of the hair along his spine rising.
"Little Mouse is mine, and I will thank you to remember it."
Bridget ran a hand down Raoul's spine in just the way he most preferred and hastened to add,
"I know that this request is unusual, Neen, Kit of Norn, but it is very important to the Spire Arch, Lord Albion, and it may be that only the Nine Claws can help us. I beg your indulgence in this matter, and will accept whatever decision you make in it."
Neen lashed his tail left and right for a moment before rising and saying,
"It is Norn's place to decide, I think. Remain here. Norn will see you. Or he won't. Farewell."
Raoul's little mouse.
Then he turned and vanished into the shadows.
Goodness, so abrupt,
Folly muttered.
Cats are not to be rushed,
Bridget said.
On the other hand, it's rather difficult to slow them down once they've decided to start.
She traced Raoul's ears with her fingertips and said to him,
I take it we should wait.
You should,
Raoul said approvingly, turning in a circle and then lying down in her lap.
I, however, am weary from all that diplomacy. I shall sleep.
The nine claws kept them waiting for all of half an hour. Then a pair of large male cats appeared from the shadowed hallway. They sat down at the very limits of Bridget's vision, where the yellow-gold gleam of their eyes was the thing she could best see.
Folly,
Bridget said. She touched Raoul's back lightly, and the cat lifted his head at once.
Of course, he said, and yawned. Now they are quick.
It's as though they have no consideration for others at all,
Bridget said in a dry tone.
I suspect that they do not, Raoul growled, but this is their territory. We must show them.
He shuddered.
Respect.
Bridget nodded firmly and said to Folly,
Let Raoul walk first. Stay even with me, shoulder to shoulder, and try not to look at any specific cat for more than a second or two. It makes them uneasy.
Very well.
Don't worry,
Folly said to her jar.
I'm here to protect you.
Yes, thank goodness for that,
Bridget said, rising as Raoul climbed out of her lap. She offered a hand to Folly and hauled the slender apprentice etherealist to her feet. Raoul looked back and up at them, his expression enigmatic, then turned and prowled forward. They followed the pair of male cats into darkness that rapidly swelled and swallowed them. Bridget would have been blind if not for Folly and her jar of expended lumen crystals. There must have been several hundred of the little crystals in the girl's container, each producing a faded remnant of its original glow. Any one of them could have barely produced light enough to be seen from the corner of one's eye, but taken together they cast a very soft, nebulous radiance that at least allowed Bridget to follow the cats without walking into a wall or tripping over debris on the tunnel floor. The pair of warriors, they could be nothing else given their size, their silence, and their arrogant demeanour, led them into the ventilation tunnels of the east side of the spire. While the builders had created Spire Albion in the shape of a perfect circle, each habbel was laid out as a square fitting within that circle. The extra spaces, at the cardinal points of the compass, were filled with a variety of supporting structures, cisterns, ventilation tunnels, waste tunnels, and the like. Cats generally preferred the smaller ventilation tunnels for habitation. Bridget could barely squeeze into one of the little tunnels and still wriggle forward, and she devoutly hoped that Norn would meet them in one of the larger tunnels or intersection chambers. It took them only a few minutes to reach a large intersection chamber where, apparently, the Nine Claws had decided to receive them. It was a roomy space, with ceilings that stretched up out of the meagre light of Folly's jar, 40 feet wide and perhaps twice as long. 8 ventilation tunnels intersected at this point, and the moving air of the spire's living breath swirled around the chamber, a constant droning sigh. The far side of the chamber featured several pieces of wooden furniture, including a footstool, a wooden chair, a high bar stool, and an impressive darkly stained table. They were lined up in that order as well, obviously as stairs leading up to what amounted to a dais. A score of warrior cats were arrayed on the various pieces of furniture, or on the ground at their feet up to the large table, where a single, heavily muscled tomcat of purest black sat with his eyes mostly closed. On the bar stool just below the level of the table sat Neen, with a bored expression, though his tail lashed left and right in agitation.
"He has his own furniture?" Raoul demanded under his breath. "Oh, that is simply outrageous. What is he doing with those? Cats have no need for such things."
"Why do I suspect you're going to want me to buy some for you?" Bridget asked.
"That is not the point," Raoul sniffed. "We will discuss such matters later."
Bridget kept herself from showing any teeth when she smiled and looked carefully around the large chamber. There were a great many cats looking on. In the wan light Folly held, she could see little of them but for indistinct shapes and the flicker of reflections of green-gold eyes. Hundreds of them.
"Oh, my!" Folly whispered. "There are certainly more cats here than I've seen in the duration of my life. And, oh, look, kittens!"
Bridget arched a brow sharply and turned her head to follow the direction Folly was pointing out to her jar. She did, indeed, spy several tiny sets of eyes, many of them coming closer as the curious kittens crept forward, noses extended, their ears pricked toward the visitors. That was odd. Cats did not expose their kittens to humans. Even Bridget and her father, with their strong relationship with the Silent Paws, had seen kittens no more than half a dozen times in her life. And now the Nine Claws had received them in the very same communal chamber where their kittens were being cared for. In fact,
"This is all of them," Bridget breathed to Raoul. "This is the entire clan, kittens and all."
Raoul narrowed his eyes and made a quiet sound in his throat.
"Impossible. Too many tunnels must be watched and guarded and held against encroachers."
But even as he said it, Bridget saw his eyes scanning the room, taking an approximate count of their hosts.
"They're nervous," Folly whispered, "banding together for safety."
"Cats don't do that," Bridget said, or began to say, but she stopped herself.
Cats absolutely operated in groups to hunt and defend territory more safely. But they certainly did not ever allow themselves to appear to be doing such a thing. Such a lack of independence would be seen as unacceptable. Even a team of cats working together tended to be a loose coalition more than anything, and lasted no longer than was necessary. Clan chiefs like Maul or Norn maintained their position through a dense, complicated network of one-on-one relationships, through building a general consensus, and when necessary, through the exertion of personal pressure where possible, and force where necessary. Getting half a dozen cats to agree upon almost anything was the next best thing to impossible. Getting several hundred to move together, to abandon their individual territories, to share a single living space was unheard of, literally. From all she knew of cats, Bridget would never have believed such a tale if someone had told it to her. What in the name of God in heaven was happening in this Habble? Raoul strolled forward through the chamber as if there weren't enough potentially hostile cats surrounding them to smother them all to death beneath their sheer weight. As deaths went, Bridget thought, being asphyxiated by warm, soft, furry little beasts seemed a bit less ghastly than some she had considered lately. But nonetheless, she preferred to avoid it. Raoul, generally speaking, knew very well what he was about, but when his natural ability and confidence failed, the results tended to be the sorts of events one felt obligated to write down in one's diary. She hoped, rather fervently, that this would not be one of those occasions. Raoul went straight to the lowest stool and mounted it as calmly as if it had belonged to him, and the cats who sat there were forced to give way awkwardly at the last moment, or else find themselves bowled over. Raoul proceeded up the pieces of furniture until he reached the high stool upon which sat Neen. Once he had reached that, Raoul calmly took a seat beside his counterpart and faced Norn attentively.
Noon watched this display with narrowed eyes, and the tip of his tail twitched once or twice. Then he eyed Neen. Neen idly lifted a paw, cleaning it fastidiously. He was not precisely ignoring his clan chief, but he was, Bridget felt, walking near some sort of boundary. Norn's voice was a deep, growling tone.
"You are Raoul, of the Silent Paws."
"I know that," said Raoul.
After a moment he added,
"Sire of the Nine Claws."
Norn growled in his chest.
"Arrogant, just like the other Silent Paws who have visited my domain."
"I know that too,"
Raoul said.
"You know why I have brought these humans to you?"
"Yes,"
Noon said. His green-gold eyes flicked to Folly and Bridget.
"They believe we owe them some sort of service."
"Sire of the Nine Claws," Bridget said, taking a small step forward. That drew the eye of every cat there. Bridget felt rather abruptly, severely unnerved by the attention of so many consummate predators, however small each of them might be individually. She swallowed and kept her voice steady.
"Lord Albion, the Spirearch, sent us to request your aid in a matter in which we believe only the Nine Claws can help us."
Norn peered at Bridget and tilted his head this way and that for a moment.
"Is that some kind of trick, Kit of Maul? Like when the humans make those hideous dolls appear to speak?"
"It is no trick, sire," Raoul said easily. "This is my human, little mouse."
"And it speaks,"
Non mused.
"As I told you,"
Neen noted. The elder Nine Claw eyed his kit and considered his own front paws for a moment, as if deciding whether or not he needed to choose one with which to reply. Raoul feinted at Neen's nose with one paw, and the other young cat flinched. Instantly, every warrior cat in the place was on its feet, and Bridget felt almost certain that she could actually hear the mass of fur upon spines suddenly springing straight up. The air whispered with hundreds of low sounds of feline warning. Bridget found herself holding her breath. Raoul ignored the chorus of angry growls with a certain magnificent indifference to reality, looking at Neen in strict disapproval.
"Respect your sire," Raoul said severely, "or you will oblige him to teach you, here and now, when he obviously has greater concerns before him."
Neen blinked at Raoul several times. He took note of the room and all the cats staring at him, and abruptly became disinterested, looking out at nothing in particular, his eyes half closing. There was a long silence, and then Norn let out a low sound of amusement, and his ears assumed a more relaxed, attentive angle. Bridget felt her pent-up breath slowly easing out of her again as several dozen of the watching cats joined their clan chief in sharing their amusement.
"You have courage, Raoul Silent Paw,"
Norn noted,
"or you are mad."
"I know that too," Raoul replied. "Will you hear Little Mouse's request?"
"Little Mouse,"
Norn said, his gaze travelling up and down Bridget's large frame.
"A fine name for her."
"She grew more than was expected," Raoul explained. "It was most inconsiderate, but what can one expect?"
"Humans rarely concern themselves with the needs of cats,"
Norn agreed,
"and those who do are rarely to be trusted."
Raoul lifted his chin.
"Little Mouse, Kit of Wordkeeper, is exceptional."
Norn studied Bridget with unblinking eyes for a time, then he said,
"Raoul, Kit of Maul, you are a welcome guest in my domain."
Raoul tilted his head sharply to one side.
"Whatever do you mean, sire?"
Norn's unreadable eyes for an instant were hot with rage.
The Nine Claws are no friends to humans, no matter to whom they belong.
The older cat turned to stare hard at Bridget.
Little mouse, Kit of Wordkeeper, you and your companion are unwelcome here. You will depart immediately. You will not return to these tunnels, nor will you attempt to make contact with my clan. Should you refuse to abide by either of these commands, your lives are forfeit.
Bridget opened her mouth, startled.
But, sire, surely if you would only hear me out...
I know why you are here. Norn snarled, rising to all fours. I know you seek to enlist our aid as eyes and ears in the coming conflict, but you will not have it. The war is a human war. It is not a cat war. The Nine Claws will not care if your enemies slaughter every last man, woman, and child. It is all the same to us. We will go on as we have with whatever batch of humans rules this habble.
Bridget bit her lip.
Well, that was unacceptable. She couldn't simply return and explain to Master Ferris that the cats had said no and what might be his next idea. Miss Lancaster would surely not simply abide by that conclusion. But what could be done? Within this setting, Norn's word was law, and though most people thought cats to be little more than vicious little vermin, good for mostly killing even worse little vermin, Bridget was perfectly aware that cats were willing and able to bring down human beings if they chose to do so. Norn could absolutely make good on his threat. If Norn so ordered it, none of them would leave this chamber. Even so, Bridget had a duty to perform. She had no intention of failing in it. She squared her shoulders and took a deep breath, ready to try again. Folly abruptly seized Bridget's wrist, and the slender girl's fingers felt like cold, hard bronze.
No!
Folly hissed.
Can she not see it?
See what? Bridget whispered back. Folly turned her head slowly, her eyes raking over the chamber, the shadows, the silent, tense forms of the Nine Claws clan.
They are afraid!
Folly breathed, barely audible, her lips hardly moving at all.
They are being watched!
Bridget's mouth suddenly felt dry, her throat tight.
Here? Now?
Folly nodded her head in so slow and slight a motion that Bridget almost thought she had imagined it. Norn turned, the motion deliberate, his dark fur rippling in the dim light of Folly's jar, speaking in a slow, heavy voice.
You will be shown from this place and put on a path back to the human quarter of the Habble.
He paused to glance over his shoulder at Neen and said, his voice heavy with weariness,
"Show them to the ropes."